Chapter 24. Lysander. Drop Shock. I soar out of the ignorance of the spit tube into a silent madhouse where there is no up. The first glimpse of battle is as incomprehensible to my brain as calculus is to a dog. Confined between two horizons of metal, the ship and the surface of Phobos, I'm blinded a half-second out of the tube. Only the heavy filters on my helmet's optics save my ocular nerves from frying. I fight the instinct to alter course. It won't matter if I do, not in a drop like this. You can't dodge anything. If you try, you'll just slag up the fellow next to you and create a chain reaction that will mire the drop and get 10,000 killed. Dive, make landfall, survive, find my drill. Survive. What a laugh, as if I had a say. The blurred topography beneath me winks at me. Guns. They're almost pretty. Rail guns whip past at speeds too fast to see. They must slash furrows through the ranks of men behind me. To my right, to my left. I can't tell. I can't care. I can't look back. All I can do is go down, down, fast as I can, to where death waits with its mouth open and its teeth gnashing the men ahead. My brain is recovering from the sensorial overload of drop shock. I register landmarks. The city to my left, Bastion 1, north, the crater, south. I'm on target. I'm not lost. I still don't have a name. I'm an insect in the path of speeding machines and munitions that won't even notice my death because they're not aiming at me. I'm too small. The assault is too big to grasp, much less evoke an emotional reaction. I feel nothing, not even fear. Just shock and awe and insignificance. I witness the assault in staggered, isolated frames. Gun batteries belch fire and die by fire. A whole block of cityscape disappears under the wreckage of a pinwheeling destroyer. A squadron of bombers slips under flak. I think they're ours. 100 Praetorians vanish in a flash of light. A claw drill's arrest program fails and it disintegrates against a starscraper. A giant ice monument to Ragnar Valaris melts as a particle beam blazes through its torso. 3 ripwings with loon crescents on their wings rocket past to shoot down a lone enemy fighter. The crescent seems like the mark of some insane king. Not me. Someone else. Some authority who has strategy, reasons, a plan. I have no plan. Survive the passage. That's my only job. Dive, make landfall, find my drill. Then the rest. I'm locked onto my drill's beacon. So are Ajax and Roan. They materialize out of the chaos onto my flanks. Cityscape, veined with colorful advertisements, swells ahead. Rapidly, the buildings and battlements grow taller, grander, even as the scenes of battle shrink. A ripwing crashes into a soft drink advertisement, beheading the smiling vixen. Armored men dive onto gun batteries and lay charges. A Praetorian lands too fast behind his claw drill and is sucked into its business end. Missiles slither from civilian starscrapers. Bodies fly like confetti from a bisected transport. My theater shrinks and becomes more comprehensible the closer I draw to our drill. It has landed on a metal and duroglass mesa about half a click shy of our designated landfall. Fuck it. Its hell diver has already started to dig. I don't blame him. The dull grey surface rushes up to greet me. Am I dead? Am I Hades staring at a necropolis where humans are fused in the landscape itself? The mesa has faces in it. Faces! Hundreds of terrified faces. No, it's an apartment complex. Those are windows. Tenants. I invert, land, and become a man again. I am alive! I almost roar! My heart hammers in my chest. Under my boots, a green woman holding a glass of whiskey stares at me through the cracked duraglass of her living room window. The plants in her apartment start to shake, but not from me. Her eyes meet the dark glass eye-holes of my helmet. In the reflection of the glass between us, I see my second wave descending behind me. I feel powerful. She is insignificant. I am too hateful from the drop and the death I saw to care if my thoughts might be wicked. The green flashes me the crooks and tilts back her whiskey. It's already boiling. She screams. Her plants behind her wither. Her hair singes. Moisture abandons her body and her flesh catches fire as heat generated by our claw drill rages through her apartment. Frozen by the whiplash from insect to human again, I watch the woman with detached remove, thinking, who's the bug now? The spell is broken when Ajax barks my name. My Praetorians have secured our landfall. Dogfights swirl overhead. Roan stomps up to me with bad news. They prioritized the claw drills, took out half of them. The rest have landed and have penetration. Only half? Gods, their rip wings are good. I hop onto a comms antenna protruding from the surface of the apartment complex. I have a few seconds to see the landfalls from a clear vantage. Even then, it's impossible to tell if my plan is doomed. The light of war stutters across the landscape. It stirs a memory, summoning an apocalyptic image I saw in an old paper book when I was young and making my way through the Palatine stacks. A lithograph depicting the war of God's angels after paradise was lost. The claw drills tower on the grim hellscape like the pagan obelisks to which the angels flocked. It is hell. Terrible and awesome and silent beneath the heavens. I can appreciate its strange beauty now that I am human again. Maybe that is the problem. Maybe that is why we wage war. Because bugs don't and angels do. I shiver, and so do the drills as they disappear into the moon. Geysers erupt after them. Level by level, the moon depressurizes and spills its guts out. They were things once, the guts. Metal bulkheads, glass windows, plastics, insulation, and bodies, all now churned into fractal spew. Then identifiable debris comes, as pressure shoves anything untethered on the compromised levels toward the holes ripped in their world. Toward these debris geysers rush my Praetorians. I glance up, past the waves of assault ships coming down, at the mauled belly of the Lightbringer. My flagship and captain have done their job and dropped their cargo. Time for Pytha to let the others through. If they are coming, that is. If they aren't, we're dead, and in the moment, that is all right. Then Ajax pulls me down from the antenna.
"You want to make a sniper's day?" he snaps, and curses me with a litany of phrases I've never heard before.
Roan radios the breach is ready. With Ajax, I rush to its edge. It is 20 meters wide. Helmet says 300 meters deep already. The geyser of debris unceasing as level after level depressurizes. The claw drill is already out of sight. Its demonic light throbs far below, promising death or glory. The hair on my arms stand on end as an energy field activates. Glancing up, I see Phobos's main shield has come back on, cutting us off from support.
My stomach sinks. A Praetorian shouts a warning and points toward the pyramid looming over our landfall, Bastion 1, where scales of light appear on the dark surface of the fortress. From the scales, tiny humanoid shapes emerge. They are tiny only because they are so far away.
"Drakenjäger," Ajax murmurs over the comm.
More scales glow on the fortress as a dozen more garages open. My voice is eerily calm. "They'll sweep down the pyramid and hurl us off this moon. If they take our landfall, we're done before the main wave can land. We'll be cut off inside."
"Not our job," Roan says. "This isn't the Laydon. Trust your guard. Our objective is down there."
"Waiting on you, Dominus," Demetrius says, and jerks his head toward the breach.
Ajax gives me a nod.
"Let's go make peace."
Already I hear the cool litany of Centurions over the comm as they assess the new threat and prepare to rebuff the Drakenjägers. I gaze one more time at the far-off machines. They've begun a disjointed lope down the pyramid slope, building speed as they come in rolling waves of steel. I contemplate when, years from now, I will sit in the Palatine Garden and review all the fair things my peace has wrought, and I dive into the mouth of hell.